This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview CJ Martin, owner of CrossFit Invictus and coach of many games athletes.
Yo, this is CTP, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrugged podcast, the number one strength and conditioning podcast for CrossFitters.
If you want to check out the video version, which you should, go to fitter.tv and watch that, because it's way cooler than just listening.
And how do you spell fitter.tv there, Mr. Bledsoe?
F-I-T-R.tv.
He's a good speller. All right, while you're there, definitely go and sign up for the newsletter. As part of signing up for the newsletter, you'll get a video that Mike made where he shows you the top seven snatch mistakes that you're probably making that are keeping you from hitting that next PR and lifting some big weight.
Yeah, look at the seminars, tune into the show, and get ready to become a more awesomer version of
you. We give you the tools you need to succeed.
You become a tool.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here at the Central
CrossFit East. Central East.
Yeah, CrossFit Games Central East Regional with
I can't remember either.
Doug and Chris Moore. And we have CJ Martin on the show, owner of CrossFit Invictus and coach of many athletes, one of which is here today, competing today, Michelle Kenny. She's doing very well.
A friend of the show.
Currently in second place?
Currently in second place. Not a lot of points between her and first. Was it pretty much?
3 points.
Right there.
What's the space between two and three right now?
Between two and three? I don't know.
Doesn't matter. She's going to kick shit anyway.
Yeah, that was a shitty question, Chris. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I got more shitty questions.
So, real quick, make sure you go to barbellshrug.com. Sign up for the newsletter. That way you can be notified of all the stuff that we're up to. And you can see what do we got going on?
Right now we have the top seven snatch mistakes video that you get when you sign in for the newsletter that Mike put together. Sign up for the newsletter. Every week we send out, when we put out a new episode, also we send out one email that has like a review of the 7 to 10-ish videos that we put out each week. That way, if you don't get a chance to go to the site, you can at least see like a preview of all the videos that we put out that week. We've got a lot of feedback on that email since a lot of people don't go to the site. They like to get that one review email. That way they can kind of pick and choose which videos they want to watch each week.
Yeah. So, all right, we have CJ Martin here, owner of Invictus, and you coach a lot of CrossFit athletes. One that's probably the most well-known is Josh Bridges, and here this weekend, Michelle Kenny. How many athletes do you coach that are like games, or I say in regionals right now?
I think we had 47 that went to regionals.
That's impressive. Are you programming for all of them, or do you have like a team?
I do have, I have two assistant coaches that help out.
Okay.
I get to oversee all the programs, make sure that everything's planned out and know what direction they're in. Mm-hmm. Then I get to do all their consults and talk to them. And
How often do you talk to them?
We talk monthly? Yeah, every 6 weeks. Normally.
Okay, every 6 weeks?
Just depends, right? And then there's some that I've coached for quite a while that you know I've talked to on a very regular basis.
Well, I guess some people maybe need a little more TLC here and there. Maybe some of the more maniacs in the group who need to hear good words more often.
Yeah, for sure.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, some people are just a little more volatile, a little more, you know, eager to dominate. Yeah, a little more emotional. There's nothing wrong with that. The world needs emotional people and boring people and people in between. So all right.
Before we dig too much into that, you want to give us a little bit about your background? I know you said that you're the owner of Invictus and you have a lot of regionals athletes, but can you kind of just talk about your background and how you kind of came into this world?
Yeah, sure. I was actually a securities litigator.
That sounds exotic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Exotic. That's not what I was thinking, but
Let me guess, you woke up every day like, I can't wait to go to work and do this job.
Right.
Thank God it's Monday.
It wasn't too bad. But certainly sitting behind a desk, I didn't feel like I was doing a lot of tangible good.
Yeah.
So got into CrossFit just to get back in shape. I played baseball in college and was a fighter all my life, taekwondo and boxing.
Oh, cool.
Got into CrossFit because it was Spartan, and I really enjoyed it. And that was 2006.
Cool.
And then, went to the 2007 games as an athlete. Went in 2008, realized in 2008, I'm not a very good athlete. But had now, some really
what
good
I like about that,
I
that dude
with.
Is
like you know better than you perform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like it takes like a certain, a lot.
it takes that wisdom and sort of grace to say, I'm athletic. I got this history, but I think I can just help people and get the satisfaction. Yeah. I don't need to like slay myself chasing the dragon. You know, it's not necessary.
I went in 2007 and had a great time, right? And this is 2007. People forget, you know, we were lifting weights outdoors and drinking beers between squats on the CrossFit
Total.
Yeah,
it was like a gathering. Let's have a good time.
Yeah. It wasn't a sport then. But then 2008, I had such a good time in 2007. I got all these people from the gym I was at. I was like, hey, you guys are all going up. Yeah. We actually trained for it and stuff. And so
I was trained for it this time.
Yeah. It got to a point, though, that I think one of the events, it was like the third event for me. My heat time was the same time as like four of my other athletes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, I'll just go coach them.
Yeah. that's like a good sign of like when it's time that you probably should hang it up and just coach your athletes if they're beating what you're doing.
Nothing keeps you from training hard and having fun with it, but you got to know when to not compete.
Right. I remember I did the Chestabar Fran was that year, and I was coaching some of my athletes that were competing right before, and they're like, I hear my name called. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm up. I'm running over. You know, no warm-up or anything.
Oh, yeah.
But So I realized at that point, I was like, I should probably just go into coaching.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is like trying to coach and compete at the same time. Yeah. It's practically impossible.
And that decision brings you where you are.
A lot
of coaching success.
Yeah, so I absolutely loved it. I mean, I was one of those geeks for a long time, and I actually, unfortunately, ruined myself doing it, but I was working, you know, 14-hour days at the law firm, but my schedule, I'd open the gym at 6 a.m.
So were you a lawyer?
I was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I would open the gym at CrossFit San Diego at 6 a.m. I'd coach until 8 a.m.
Grinding.
Go to the law firm, mm-hmm. come back at 6 p.m., work till 8 p.m., and then have dinner.
How long did you keep that up?
Dang.
And then I'd have to work till 2 a.m. or so just to, because I still had to make all my hours, and so
research suggests that 4 hours of sleep is not good.
Yeah.
Man. That'll fuck your recovery right in the head.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that for about 18 months and then decided, you know, to open Invictus. And at that point, I had to make a decision. Was I going to stay on at the law firm? The law firm was obviously very good money. But decided ultimately, I was like, if I'm going to be decent at this, I got to give it everything.
And if you're
going to
fucking be happy, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got a dream, you're going to chase it and give yourself over to it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so 2009.
It's a lot more fulfilling.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Especially on days like today.
Yeah. Never look back, for sure.
Oh, good.
For a while there, you did some stuff with OPT and you kind of split off since then. I mean, I know you still hold the OPT athlon at your facility and stuff like that. I'm not saying like split, like there's like a.
Yeah.
Like anything bad happened, but you did a lot of things with OPT, and now it seems like you have a little bit of a different philosophy on training, a little bit different take.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, we were, we're still good friends, and he's always been a good mentor. I didn't do anything with him in terms of, I've always had a little bit different philosophy, but right. I've learned so much from him, right? So
as everybody should, by the way. I mean,
he's a phenomenal resource, but, James, you know, I did his first series of coaching programs, mm-hmm. and he was the first guy that I really came across. I had done some of the, you know, I'd done all the CrossFit stuff. I'd also done some Poliquin, Paul Check and stuff.
Sure.
James was the first guy that I realized he had already done all that, and he was giving the shortcut to all these gym owners and, mm-hmm. and myself included. You know, he's such a wealth of knowledge.
What,
and
the idea came to my mind. It's kind of like reading through peer-reviewed literature. Like, what do you do as a scientist? You go, I got an idea. And you go, what's been done? And you read through all these articles. You go, I got an understanding of what people have done. I need to do an experiment. I take that into consideration because they've already built this foundation. What I need to do, it needs to add to this.
Right.
So it's fucking awesome that a guy comes along and says he peels through all that great evidence, has that geeky mentality, digests it all.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're not doing shortcuts by taking his advice. You're being wise by saying, look, I can take what you've done and this evidence you put together, and I start building on my little unique experiment. I add to that. I feedback into it. It's a beautiful idea. It's how it should work. It's how any system that marches towards the one truth needs to sort of operate in that way, that cumulative way.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think he's so phenomenal for the community and for coaches out there, because he's got a great program to teach coaches to be more conscientious about why they're choosing to do things. And so to get back to the question, I might choose to do something a little different than James, but it's well informed mostly because of what James has taught me.
Gotcha.
I like when people get back to the question.
Yeah, it's
kind of
sometimes.
An inside joke.
Well, the audience is like, oh, wow, you closed the loop. I learned something.
It's crazy.
Wow, bro.
So we're talking
you.
About training philosophy. How has your training philosophy changed over the years? It's got to evolve as you learn more things and as CrossFit progresses as a sport. Can you elaborate on
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think probably the biggest shift was at the 2008 games, right? Mm. And for me, CrossFit was anybody that was unfortunate enough to train with me in 2006, 2007.
It's a humble thing to say, really.
They took the learning curve on the chin.
Oh, man, they did. Well, and it didn't help. You know, Josh Bridges was a really good friend, and he and I would train together. Well, so every workout was an hour long. It was like, all right, we'll do this and this and this, and then we'll add a three-mile run and then do this.
Oh, you're just doing
sounds
long,
terrible.
Yeah. Really long conditioning.
Beat yourself into the ground every day.
And so I got to the 2008 games, and I had made some friends, Chris Spieler being one of them in 2007. And so it came into that last event, the 155-pound squat, clean, and jerk, and I had my camera out, and I was fixed on Chris, really, you know, rooting for the small guy. And Jason Kalipa was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, filming Chris, cheering him on, and all of a sudden I hear his judge saying, like, 25, 26, and I'm like, what the hell has happened here? Right? Wow. And I realized that in 2008, and also with my athletes on the deadlift burpee workout, I was like, you know what I realize is that you can grit through a lot of things, right? If you're strong enough, you can always have heart and grit through. If you're not strong enough to move weight,
there's no
amount of desire.
Gravity doesn't give a shit about your grit.
It is not mental at that point.
That's exactly right. So then that was, I would say, my biggest change in programming philosophy came then. It was like, I've got to make all these athletes strong enough. If I can make them strong enough, we can also train the mental aspect that they'll keep going.
I had that moment, too, when I watched 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago when they introduced the dog sled, right? And I saw all these, like, very happy girls going through whatever the movements were before the dog sled event. I go, yeah, everybody looks confident. And, like, one girl in particular, like, popped off, fit, medium-sized, killing pull-ups or whatever the shit she was doing. And she gets down, she goes, yeah, let's go. Push this fucking sled across the turf. She grabs it, and then nothing happens. And she backs off like her soul just got sucked away.
Yeah, I want to
like,
say
oh,
it was,
shit.
Was it Gretchen Kittelberger?
It may have been like.
I remember that moment because I was coaching Josh Bridges, and we're in the back, and it's the first heat of women. We're like, nobody knows what the sled's going to look like. Nobody knows how it's going to move.
It's a nasty, nasty sled.
And so we're all sitting there, and I'm like, I got to watch this. And Josh comes over. He's right by my side, and I'm like, I got to see what's. And then we see her, like, hit it, and it goes
nothing
nowhere.
Nothing like, happens. My That's a bad time.
My stomach dropped a little bit. I was like, oh, this could be interesting. But he did end up winning that event outright, for the record.
Yeah.
But there's that moment like, okay, strength's a pretty important thing.
Right.
So for all your athletes that you know are going to go to the games or that have gone to the games before, do you have different phases of training throughout the year? Do you have a particular way that you decide to structure the different phases of training after the games, you know, kind of the off season and then leading up to competition? Do things change, or is that more of an individual athlete thing, or how do you work that?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say that it's not too individual in terms of periodization on the macro template, right? Like we need to know what we're doing in the off season. Mm-hmm. Now what they do within that template or period is going to be significantly different, right? Mm-hmm. I coach Asia Barto also, and so I always use Asia and Josh as the two examples. They couldn't be more different, right?
One's, what's up, Asia?
One's 5'5".
Yeah, Asia's listening right now,
he'll
by the way.
Listen, he'll listen.
Asia is, Asia's a foot taller than Josh, right? And they're different kinds of athletes, very different muscle fiber type, right? So what they need to do in the off season is going to look very different. So it's individualized, you know, at that level. But for the most part, all these guys, we're going to make sure that they're ready to peak at regionals and then re-peak at games.
So I don't want to give away any secrets, but what does that macro cycle look like, roughly?
You know, it like I said, it's going to depend on the individual. But if you've got an athlete that's not strong enough for the sport, right, we're going to spend a big chunk of the off season just
getting
real strong.
I think probably most people still struggle with this idea. Like, look, Like we talked about with Louis the other day, like the most important thing you need to do is spend time with the shit you don't want to do and the shit you're terrible at. I mean, it's common sense. But people get anxious, like, if I spend time with the barbell, marching it up and getting stronger, well, I guess I'm just getting fat and out of shape at the same time. And they get nervous about it. They don't, like, engage it and fully embrace this development that needs to happen. It's going to take a little bit of time, but will pay off if you just trust and buy in. Yeah. Like a lot of people go, I'm going to do a strength phase, but I'm also going to kick my ass during the WOD after the strength phase. Now I'm having shitty recovery, and an off season now is no longer an off season, and it sort of takes the wheels off your plan.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, with every athlete, what we look at is what is the strength or conditioning quality that has to change, right? And you have to know what the time frames are for those qualities to develop.
Yeah.
Right? I think that the best example is if you take a bodybuilder, right, and you don't have him lift anything, or a power lifter, and you don't have him lift anything for 4 months, guess what? You put him under a barbell, he's still going to be pretty damn
he's
gonna strong.
He's
going to
be
right?
just fine. Yeah.
You take a marathon runner, and they could take 4 months off, they're still going to be able to go longer than your average guy. Mm-hmm. You train everything right in the middle, right? And that's all you do. It's mm-hmm. really tough to get real strong yeah. or to develop that aerobic base. So when
medium
when we
sucks,
look at
man.
That,
medium fucking is my worst. The worst thing I hate fucking medium.
It's the best shirt size.
It is okay. Exception for shirt sizes.
So what we look at then is you know using Josh in Asia, right? I need that off season to really develop strength gains for Josh, and we're going to need to use a big block of time to make sure he gets as strong as possible for Asia. That might be aerobic base work, right? Aerobic base takes a long
that
time to build,
strong.
Also, right?
Yeah, he's a strong kid.
And then as we get closer to competition, right, all of that middle stuff becomes more and more important because that's our sport. Mm-hmm. Our sport is go real fast, mm-hmm. but you know you don't have
moderate
to go
moderate weights,
right?
So you're always peaking with the stuff in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we want to get closer into that middle stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Now going into games, if we haven't built that aerobic base for some of these guys, mm-hmm. there's going to be a problem, mm-hmm. right? So that's where it gets a lot more individualized. And then what they do between now and games mm-hmm. is going to change.
What about the differences between training men versus women? Do you have any general differences in between the programming between the genders?
You know, not that are so significant. I think training men versus women is probably more emotional, psychological.
That's what
right?
I was going to say, man. It's like it's not necessarily always physiological.
There's women throwing stuff at the TV screen right now.
I actually enjoy coaching women more than I do men.
Yeah, and you know, don't get me wrong. I think I've had I've had some amazing male athletes, Josh obviously being one of them. But I think I've actually carved my reputation with women, not with men, and I'm fine with that. I really enjoy coaching.
You get more
them.
Of a difference between in the sexes where you got one guy who's a champ, puts his nose down, grinds, leans forward, does whatever you say, and you got another guy who's a fucking basket case who you have to always sort of just focus on the plan, man. Come on, hold it together. Yeah. You got to work on your strength. Keep focused. You know, 8 weeks of this, trust me. Yeah. And then the other guy's like, no problem.
Right.
I'm driven.
And that's the same with men and women,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When I say it's more psychological, it doesn't mean that their training changes or that one's needier than the other, because I've got plenty of needy males, right?
Yeah, plenty of fucking PMS.
We're not naming any names. Not naming any names.
No.
So, a totally different question. What do you think of Matt Baird?
let's preface this.
Matt's
our
too.
Fucking
Hi, Matt.
Boy, man. We love Matt.
Matt
too,
is our
Dad.
Boy. He is our boy.
He knows he's crazy. He knows it too.
Matt,
like,
I'll tell you what.
Matt's confirm nor deny your statement.
We love the guy.
Matt's a phenomenal athlete.
He's a freak,
and
man.
I think this year, what you're going to see is that this year will motivate him to achieve his full potential next year.
Talking about that, man, I think that's the most brilliant thing. Is that McGoldrick went through this when he got injured, was it 2 years ago at this regional?
Yeah, he was injured.
He had that
2 years
crazy
ago
event. He dropped
regional.
The weight on him. He had a bad injury, and that's not a good thing to go to. Michelle had the dark period. You know, you kind of have a couple years of success. You maybe get a little drunken by that. You expect, I'm going to be back next year. I'm going to try to win this thing. And then not that you had any conscious decision to let things slip or whatever, but, like, you didn't have this hard-to-nail-down quality that – you get when you go, oh, shit, I didn't make it.
Well, it's
and
not,
you have to go home. You drive 10 hours back to Memphis where Michelle is training.
Yeah.
And you go, fuck, man, I got to think about this hard. Like, I want this so bad. And then you have this off season where it's just building and building and building. And it pushes you through this hard training, gives you that fire. And you show up here and you put your hand on the fucking dumbbell and you don't let go. And you snatch it till you're in second place in your position to get what you want. And you enter that third day hungry as hell to just dominate everybody. You're going to get that just by winning every year. Like, maybe guys like Rich are just freak enough just to show up and kick everybody's ass. But for most of us mortals, you need some quality to give you that patch, that fire, that drive, this energy source. That's the most important thing. Like, perfect programming minus giving everything you got will not fucking put you on the platform.
Yeah, I think a lot of a lot of athletes maybe in 08, 09 may have gotten comfortable because they weren't seeing how fast things were advancing. It's like, oh, I did pretty good last year. I just got to get a little bit better.
No.
It's like, no, you got to get like 50% better from like 09 to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that people are kind of recognizing that, that now is you can't maintain. You got to like, you got to be pushing the threshold all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Michelle does look the best I've ever seen her. She looked great out there today.
Yeah, she moves really well.
Her
really?
Focus, like when she was jumping on that box and jumping down, she looked hungry. Like, I'm going to go fucking plow through every one of these jumps and take
this. Has a lot of grit.
Well, what I was impressed with.
She can grind some shit out. She's very tough.
Michelle's phenomenal. I mean, in terms of athletic mindset, she's one of my favorite athletes to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have a saying, and I think James used it for years also, is full effort is full victory, right? It's from a Gandhi quote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want all of our athletes to do. And if they do that, we know they're going to maximize their potential. And Michelle, you never have to worry that she's not going to give full effort. She's going to go out there every time and try to crush it.
Yeah, very tough girl to break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you monitor, say, technique for, like, Olympic lifts and stuff like that remotely? How do you do that?
Video. So, yeah, we'll do video review. You know, it's tough. I'd love for all my athletes to move out to San Diego and be able to work with them.
They probably like that too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Life keeps you chained down
guys,
sometimes.
Anybody listening, open invite. You want to move to San Diego? We got a spot for you.
There you go. It's so tough to get people to visit San Diego.
Right.
Said by no one ever.
Yeah. So what resources? What are your favorite resources? Books or, say, certifications? Or, like, if you want to learn more about how to be a better CrossFit coach, what would you?
Yeah, if you're going to go through that
your,
now.
Like, top five things that you would do? Like, say all you had was a CrossFit Level 1 certification and you wanted to be the best CrossFit coach ever.
In terms of certification, I think James does such a good job. He blends, you know, like I said, I've done all the Poliquin courses at this point, and I've done a little bit of Polcheck. I've done some, you know, I've done a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is so is James, and he's done CrossFit, and he's, you know, competed, and he's coached in CrossFit, and so he blends it all. I mean, I tell this to affiliate owners all the time, like, if that's really your focus is improving as a coach, they do that course. He's giving you some shortcuts to doing it the hard way or the way I did it, which is in 2009, I spent $30,000 in education.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
So
not every CrossFit coach has that disposable
income. Let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson. If you open up a gym, and you go, I want to learn, what could be about anything, really. Like, I want to learn how to do something and master it. And go, yeah, I'll buy a couple books and I'll spend 5 minutes a day on the internet and I'll just, that's not a passion, man.
No, and I think, you know, I didn't take a paycheck that year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was important to me that if you make the investment, just like your athletics, right? If you make the investment up front, these guys don't come out here for this weekend and crush it. Like, they did that because they're busting their ass, you know, 3 hours a day, every single day, right? And it was the same for me as a coach. It was like, I better invest. If I'm going to be good at this, I better know as much as I possibly can. I mean, I got a full library, and I'm trying to churn through that stuff as best
as possible. Yeah, people think that these kind of milestones are reached because you're super talented. Oh, man, I wish I had the talent of CJ. Well, yeah, I'm sure smart as anybody, but, like, you didn't, like, it wasn't a mistake that you became a good coach, right?
No, I mean, and even before, you know, before I opened Invictus, before I made the decision to leave, right, it was the reason I stopped, you know, law is that I couldn't not work or read, you know, training articles for 6 hours a day.
So we'll do the same thing.
And so, right, like, I was a total geek, and then it was just like, okay, I'm doing this for 12 hours and this for 6 hours. I'm like, damn, if somebody could just pay me to do this, that would be, like, ideal,
you know,
right?
It's like, I think James now probably have a good conversation on this point because he's kind of a out there guy when it comes to this. I'm kind of out there. I think we'd have a beautiful relationship. But,
couple,
like,
weirdos.
If you buy an idea that there's this, like, ever-present energy, like, you can tap into it, that moment when the muse speaks to you, I got a great fucking idea, and the energy just comes to you, right? Like, you found a point where the energy lies. For you, it's like like the universe is screaming at you. Dude, it's not law, homie.
Yeah,
like, what do you want? Well, if you could just stop, if you put the law book down right now, what would you do for nothing? What would you stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning doing? Like you were doing. It became so obvious that this is what you should do.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how people miss that. Like, what, What would keep you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, even though you didn't have to do that?
Here's the one caveat that I'll say, because I talk to a lot of business owners, and there's a lot of people that jump, right? And we all love CrossFit.
You can't be dumb.
Yeah.
And you got a mortgage, you can't be dumb.
So the one thing I always tell them is, right, remember, I did that for 18 months, right? So these guys that are like 3 months into CrossFit, like, man, this is so awesome, I'm going to quit everything. I'm like, dude, hold on. Like, make sure. I was coaching, I was researching, I was doing all this, and it just came to a point where I had to do it.
I've been doing that for 8 years now.
Yeah. You gotta be willing to take a pay cut. I think a lot of people, I've known of some people to, I'll start a CrossFit gym and I'll be able to replace my income. It's like, well, you're probably going to have to take about 50% pay cut if you want to start that. You might be able to get up to where you were at, you know, eventually, but not in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm still not where I was at. I was making a really nice income, but you know, it's I'm 4 years deep, right?
Yeah.
And and so, yeah, I had to be really realistic about the.
Yeah, and how long have you invested in your law career before that? I mean,
yeah,
school, four, right. 6 years.
Yeah, of course.
How long were you at the firm?
5 years.
Yeah, so look, you're talking like a decade where you built up to something. Yeah. I mean, people just expect shit to fall into their lap. Like, I got my dream, right? Well, like anybody lands into their optimal situation by not giving it everything they got and doing it for a long time. Like, yeah, after a decade, things will come. But are you prepared to keep fucking grinding at it till you get it? That's why most people have these dreams and never come anything other than something living in the back of their head, because they're not willing to sit down and do shit like that every day. When they'd rather just sit on the couch and expect a knock on the door and here's your dream. There you go. You got lucky. You won the lottery this week.
I was actually looking forward to hearing some more resources that you were going to tell us about, but we got derailed a little bit. You said OPT certification is fantastic.
Yeah.
What else would you recommend?
I would say if you're a business owner, okay, 99% of your gym members are not going to be games competitors, right? Mm-hmm. I think precision.
Surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Precision Nutrition does an unbelievable job with their curriculum and their certification because they're teaching nutrition, but they're teaching a philosophy on how to get people to buy into behavioral modification, right? They can teach you how to make change. And so I think coaches can apply that to their everyday member on the nutrition, on their workouts, on, you know, regardless of what it is. I think Precision Nutrition and Berardi do a really nice job.
Yeah, half the certification is like how to manipulate people.
In a good way.
How to help them.
Help them.
You
have the perfect diet. It won't matter unless you abide by it.
Yeah, but half that cert is just learning how to help people out, not the science of nutrition. So that is a good one.
Yeah.
That's 80% of the results.
Yeah. You can tell people what to do, but if you don't provide information to them in a way that makes sense to them that they can understand and they understand why they're learning what they're learning, then they're not going to follow your advice. And so they take that other stuff into account. I followed Berardi for a long time. I'm Precision Nutrition certified too. I highly recommend it as well for any CrossFit coach out there that wants to learn more about nutrition and not just about the science but about the practical part and the psychology behind it.
He's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The other book that is going to be like required reading is it's called The Only Way to Win. And it's called by Jim Lehrer, I think, and talks about character development.
Yeah.
And it's for, I think the book's written for athletics, business, you know, anything.
Yeah, him and Tony Schwartz wrote The Powerful Engagement.
Well, I know that name.
Yeah.
I was thinking that reminded me about Tony.
Yeah. So he, that book, though, for all my athletes, I'm just going to start sending it out as soon as they come on board because I want them to understand that. For me, you know, in making a career change also, this is as much about, you know, character development and giving back as it is about what actually happens on the competition floor. I think we learn a lot of lessons in the training process, in the competition process. And regardless of, you know, I got girls going in Canada West right now and they may not podium, right? But it doesn't mean it's not the best weekend of their year. It doesn't mean that they don't learn a lot of really cool things. It doesn't mean it doesn't make them hungry to be better at whatever it is they do.
Better athletes and better people, too.
Better people. And I think sometimes we get lost on that in this sport. In any sport, right? And you start to lose balance of why you're doing that. But some of my favorite moments from these regionals, you know, have nothing to do with the top three competitors. It's seeing somebody do something in competition that they, you know, in many ways had no right doing. And I'll give a little shout out. A couple of my athletes, I was Will Zerlang in Northern California and Mark Buskis in Northwest. I mean, they absolutely, after every event, they would come back and I'd give them a hug and I was like, dude, that was 110%, you know, like, yeah. You know, they're not moving on, but you looked at them and you were like, that was everything they could give. And that, as a coach, man, that's all you can ever ask.
Yeah, if you see athletes from year to year doing better at regionals is getting sure. tougher, and then they keep moving up in their ranking, it's like they're becoming better athletes. You know, you can't control what the other athletes are doing, but you can exactly. do, you know, help them reach their potential.
Yeah, that's
very satisfying.
Right.
Let's take a very quick break, and we'll come back and hit on your point.
Hey, guys, this is Rich Froning, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to fitter.tv.
All right, welcome back. We're here with CJ Martin from Invictus here at CrossFit Games Central East Regional. I can say it.
It learns.
You couldn't remember at the very beginning of the show either.
It can learn.
I was like, we're at CrossFit. Where are we?
I was training myself all last time to do Southeast Regional. Now I got to say Central East Regional.
Too many regionals.
Too many,
in too
many
short
words.
Weekends. All right, right before the break, you were about to touch on a point. Do you remember what you were going to say?
God damn it.
Oh, he's like, no, I totally
we talked about we talked about the guy with the engagement book. And that goes out.
The
110% is more satisfying than a guy with super talent just walking through and crushing everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just going to say that, you know, in this sport, not only can you not control the other competitors, but we don't know what the events are going to be, right?
Sure.
You may get events that fall into your wheelhouse. You may not. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that may be the difference between you taking third or fifth or tenth, yeah. You know. And so I think that knowing that your goal is to give your absolute best can be the only thing that governs our training.
I think that's interesting. You'll see, like, like the big – coaches that have a ton of athletes at regionals, you'll see, like, you know, a coach have like a lot of athletes move along 1 year, and then another coach like gets to take the lead the next year, and it has everything to do with what got programmed at regionals.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So it's extremely frustrating to me. I mean, I think I've said this on a podcast before. It's like you see progress all year, and then you have to like start programming really close to the regional, you know, or to the open or games or whatever. And it gets real frustrating because you're trying to anticipate, but you know you can't anticipate. Right. And then you basically have to prepare for
it's even tougher than like
anything, any random
than like
event.
Strongman.
You know?
Like strongman now is settled into as few things you're going to expect every major competition. There's going to be stones and log, and you're going to do a lot of deadlifting. Like you know the things you're going to have to work on, and there's a mild variance in the implement, you're going to be okay. But CrossFit's still wide open.
Yeah.
They throw that curveball at you.
Not a lot of surprise. I mean, there's surprises, but I feel like regionals is kind of like it's kind of settling into its own thing. Well, when you get to the games and you have like all those crazy skills
you just
that come
don't
out
know,
of nowhere,
right. mm-hmm. I guess Castro's sitting back going like this, like, whoa, like, I can't wait to announce this.
You know,
watch your back go white.
And you know, no offense to some great Olympic weightlifting coaches, but man, I'd mm-hmm. go crazy if I had to coach two lifts for an entire year. You know, like the
yeah.
fact
oh,
that
yeah. not
the
that's the
for
tough
you.
Thing mm-hmm. about powerlifting and weightlifting. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, I absolutely love the variety, right? Because from an intellectual stimulus, I need to know that they can do a huge, you know, skill set. I need to know that they can train well in every energy system, right? So, putting together the programs, I think, becomes a lot more complex,
yeah.
right? And that's really fun for me to figure out and tinker with, and I think it appeals to the ADD side of me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. ADD and CrossFit go together.
All right, so with regard to coaching specifically, what were some of like the big mistakes that you made along the way that you learned from and took something from?
Gosh, that's tough. I mean, early on, I fell into the trap I think a lot of people do. It was, you know, more is always better. Just keep slamming them. If it doesn't hurt, it was probably not a worthwhile workout, you know. And and then, you know, had to figure out that, okay, there's a lot more nuance than just
that should be reassuring people. To people. Everybody starts off with these kind of mistakes.
Oh yeah,
like you gotta you can't know until you did the mistake.
look back and cringe.
Yeah,
every coach does that. Like, what was I doing?
Yeah,
I had one workout where we programmed like 100 clean and jerks, 100 rope climbs, and like
oh my Christ, man!
And it was broken up. It was like
you read an article on Bulgaria, the German volume train. Like, oh yeah, cool, hey. Rope climbs with this.
Yeah. It was just, we did so many ridiculous things. I let Josh Bridges, who, you know, is one of my closest friends, but don't ever let him program a workout for you. Because
duly noted. You want to go run on the beach with me? No, man.
Yeah,
no, sir.
This was like, 2007, 2008. But, we would always love the 12 Days of Christmas workout. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But he would also, it would always start with a 400 meter run, right? Mm-hmm. Which then puts you at, whatever, 3.5 miles.
He's moving you into a deficit. Right. So he can just blow you out after that.
But I remember we did this one, and I think he finished in over an hour, and I was like an hour 40 or something like that. Oh. And I'm like, great workout. But that's what we thought was cool at the time,
Let's come back in 5 and do it again. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm telling you no. I'm quitting.
I come from the opposite side of the spectrum. I was like, we can do Fran in under 10 minutes. Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to work out for 2 hours. Right. I came from weightlifting where you hang out in the weight room for two and a half hours.
But the whole amount of work was 15 minutes of that.
You do 9
CrossFit.
Reps.
It's I can do a workout in 15 minutes. Fuck yeah.
Let's get
that for a while.
Yeah. It's definitely the fundamental difference, and some people are just going to love to go at it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah. I actually have another question. So we have a lot of guys right now in our audience specifically that are smaller CrossFit athletes that are trying to put on muscle mass. Do you have anything that you do for guys that are trying to put on muscle that's unique, or what advice would you give to people that are brand new that want to put on muscle mass and not be 155 pounds anymore?
Yeah. I'm not sure that any of it's unique, right? It's just general tips then.
Yeah, it's
fine. A good strength-based program. The one thing I would say is we've actually played a little bit. I do think you can develop max strength and aerobic base together, which I'm not sure, everybody would think of, but
I don't think that conflicts some textbooks, but it's possible.
Yeah. Fuck the textbooks.
Yeah, I'm not sure the textbooks are right on that. What you cannot do, though, with CrossFitters, I do not think you can do a lot of glycolytic work and develop max strength.
Well, that starts competing with the max strength.
Yeah, exactly. And so so the aerobic base stuff, if you're thinking low intensity, it's not going to mess up. Your cortisol levels aren't going to be way out of whack in the same
Louis
way.
Louis would agree with that. I mean, if you can take a power out there and build them to a 1,000-pound squat and at the same time make him drag the sled for an hour a day, there's no conflict there. He can do that. He gets tired, but it's fundamentally different. And it's not hogging the resources it takes to recover from the squats. But, if you did a lot of hardcore rowing or maybe heavier sled pushes, then you're going to start eating into that.
Maybe think about, keeping the – if you're training the different energy systems at as far apart as possible, it's okay. But as you start creeping in towards the middle, you might be eating into the other
– Yeah, I think that's right. So I would say that. I think in terms of comment – And I should clarify, if you look at our regular gym programming, we're programming for just GPP. So we will do some strength, and then we'll do a little, 5-minute burner or whatever,
For sure.
But those guys aren't saying, okay, my goal is to get huge,
or
get really strong. And so, so we'll do that in there. But when it comes to training a CrossFit athlete, Josh or Camille in the off season. They're not going to have a ton of that, kind of mid-range stuff if we're in a dedicated strength.
So if you're building up aerobic base in the off season, what does that look like? Is there a lot of rowing, air dining?
Yep. Yeah. I really like rowing. I really like air dining, and I really like swimming, only because we don't have the eccentric loading. And
no impact at all.
Yeah, the running, it's necessary, and depending on the athlete, it's we may do more or less of it. But if you're just looking for an aerobic base, I think they're recovering a heck of a lot better from some of the low impact stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to beat up your muscles or your joints as bad as doing things that have a lot of impact. So you were talking about, very briefly, you said something about having them on more of a strength program. Do you guys do, 4-week blocks, 6-week blocks, or you just do week by week, or how do you structure strength programs for people that are trying to put on muscle mass?
It's gonna depend. That really is variable based on the athlete. You have some athletes that adapt very quickly. You have other athletes that take a long time to adapt, right? CrossFit, you said, is ADD,
right?
And that's a really common mistake. You'll see guys they'll start to make progress in week 4, and that's it.
And then they change gears.
Yeah, they change gears, and you're like, whoa.
For no reason.
Yeah. They were just starting to adapt, and
so you program a week at a time, and if they're making progress, then you just keep doing what you're doing. If they're not making progress, then
why would you change what's working?
Why? Which, by the way, is a horrible business model, right? So
if okay.
you, yeah, you'd if like to sign up for 12
just
weeks.
Just because it's a lot of work, you mean?
It's a lot of work. Because right? I can't yeah. write out a 12-week program, right? I can't just give
right.
it to
if
him
you,
and be
if
like,
you
yeah,
sit
go
down,
for it.
If you could sit down in an afternoon and write a 12-week program and then, like, forget about that person
right.
for 12 weeks
no.
and then start something else, you could, like, handle so many more people.
We got to go week by week, right? Because I got to see in their results, are they progressing? Are they adapting? Mm-hmm. And if not, we got to change something, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to give the person the best result, that's why you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you also have to be willing not
Definitely
to sleep
time-consuming.
On Sundays.
That's right.
Because if you're...
Or go to
if
bed
you're,
at 2 a.m.
Yeah, if your athletes need to be updated by Monday, Sunday suddenly is not a fun day.
And you personally are doing that for how many athletes?
Well, I oversee about 50, mm-hmm. right? But I will have two of my guys help me out with some. And mm-hmm. as long as we sit and meet and say, hey, here's the direction and, you know, put mm-hmm. together this, and then I'll just look it over and make some tweaks and changes if necessary.
You have to give it the final,
yeah.
okay.
And I have about 15 that I, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the only one that touches their program and I communicate with mm-hmm. them. You know.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of work in and of itself. And then you have to be running the business and doing all kinds of other responsibilities.
15 is a ton, yeah. Yeah.
And then, by the way, this also means that you can't push your personal training, right? Whatever you do is going to take a backseat to all these things.
I feel like I'm still pretty bulky at mm-hmm. 147 pounds or so.
He's a bulky 147.
Unfortunately, and it's like the, you know, I think we all have that one thing that just gnaws at us at some level. And it's the hardest thing for me is that I don't feel I'm not in great shape and I don't prioritize my own time. And so it's one of those things that I is a constant battle for me. And I'm expecting my first child,
dude,
little boy.
It's going to go downhill a little bit more.
Yeah. So
the hour you got the train right now in the garage or whatever.
Yeah.
30 minutes of that is going to that little boy and you're going to, or the little girl and you want to do that. It's yeah. very important.
But I think, you know, I'm looking at it a little differently and you know, I've gone through rough patches and, you know, my fitness is definitely not where it should be, but I also know that having that son, I also want to be an example for him. And so I'm
yeah.
trying to use that as much to motivate me, like, hey, you better get your shit back in gear because, you know, yeah. sleeping 4 hours a night, my cortisol levels are out of control, right? Not, yeah. not getting my workouts in. I'm like, that's not being a good example for my athletes or for my son, you
yeah.
know? And, so my hope is, mm-hmm. as hard as I know it's going to be, is that I really want to make that a focus for me personally in this next season, is find a little bit more balance.
My 20-month-old is climbing up on the benches. He's grabbing rings. My wife will work with him. He'll do like a bar muscle up on the barbell when it's like yeah. set up for a bench press, and he'll pull it up, and he'll pull his hips close to it, and he'll smile real big.
Yeah.
Man, there's no better feeling than that. Like, doing what my dad just wasn't in a position to do for me. Like, tell me right. issues like, you know, pick up your shoulders, pull your shoulder blades back, stand up straight, why don't you? Like, no one told me that. Yeah. And I went through football with that, and, like, not until I was 25 did it occur. I'm like, look, I'm pretty bent over.
Right.
25 years old, when I could have had my dad saying at 1 year old, look, here's how you hold a PVC pipe overhead.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
who knows? It's such a great gift you'll be able to give to that kid.
Well, I realized, you know, we were training one day and over at Josh's house, and his little son, Jack, you know, is mimicking everything he does, and
yeah,
then
I mean, come on.
We were joking with Josh and my girlfriend. We were like, "What's our son gonna do? He's gonna stand there and look at you with his head cocked sideways, like judging you."
We're gonna do what Dad does.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Depth is poor.
Do your athletes think that you look at them strange in the gym sometimes?
Oh, probably.
Probably
yeah.
give weird looks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Not just you, bro.
Yeah, I just walk through the gym and people are like, are you judging me? Like,
right.
Always judging.
Always watching.
The
always
eye is always open.
The weird looks. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always get weird looks, though. Even if people don't know you.
That's true.
You got that look. It's the beard. It's the weird curly beard.
It's intimidating.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that means we're done.
We're talking about my beard. It's over.
That's yeah. right.
All right. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That was fantastic.
So if you want to be hired by people, where
yep.
should they go? I said that backwards.
Yeah.
If they want to hire
if
you.
If you want to hire CJ Martin. I mean, Invictus.
Or learn more about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Shoot an email to info@crossfitinvictus.com.
Cool.
Awesome.
And if they're in San Diego, then come check you guys out too.
Yeah, and move to San Diego, guys. I'm
Everyone
seriously.
Move to San Diego.
I want to. I mean, who doesn't?
Sure. I would like to maybe reduce my online coaching presence and increase the number of athletes that are actually in my gym. And I would love to be able to do that in the next year.
Not be chained to your computer. And
so yeah, here's you're the hiring thing. Coaches right now?
We're opening a second location in August, and so shoot an email if that's something that interests you. But
also in San Diego.
Also in San Diego, just 3 miles from our current location.
On that lure
very
out
cool.
there.
I'm going to send my resume over.
but I, honestly, if you look at what's happened in some of these regions, too, look at NorCal. Mm. You know, the best athletes are training together, right? Mm-hmm. And it's making people even better. I mean, Garrett Fisher from NorCal is a really – one, he's a great kid. His sister's on my team, and she's an amazing athlete. She's only 19. She's going to be one that you guys will hear about. But, Garrett has the ability to go train with Jason and Pat Barber and Neil Maddox.
Oh, yeah.
And for a young kid, that's invaluable, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to have a couple guys, that might be able to push the guys on my team and Josh and, we have that, our females, we have some phenomenal female athletes, and you look at their lifting numbers. Little Lauren, 19 years old, got invited to Junior Worlds as a weightlifter, and she'll be going, I think, Monday after games, she'll go down to for the Pan Am Games as a lifter.
Fantastic. Right?
But she has the benefit of lifting with Camille and Nicole on
she
my team.
She looks fantastic with her lifts, Camille. That video showed doing that 250-some-odd easy jerk I saw on Facebook a couple weeks ago. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord, she moves fantastic.
Cam, I know we're wrapping up, but I will say this. Camille does not get enough credit for the work she puts in. She is a technician, and if you ask her to improve efficiencies a little bit, she will be in the gym until she has it perfect. And
is
that's
it a
why she's so relevant.
Thing, man? It reminds me of like George St. Pierre with his method.
Yep.
This method he brings to everything, like and humility to where there's good information, go to it and absorb it with everything you've got. He's got the attitude you're describing. Her having it. Maybe it's something in the Quebec water or something that they're just hard working, salt of the earth folks.
But I think it's always important for me to I try to acknowledge that with Camille because she has a charisma and a presence, and I think a lot of people look at her and they're like, oh, she's just so cute, she's so bubbly.
That's why she's good,
right? And they yeah. for,
no
what,
man.
What they never see is her work ethic and dedication. She busts her ass in the gym.
It's not an accident.
And she busts her ass to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point to fucking end on right there. I couldn't think of any better thing to say.
Very cool.
There you go. What's your website?
CrossFitInvictus.com.
Go. Go right now. Go,
go
everybody.
You go.
Go to there. Now I'm telling the audience to go to that website.
Oh.
I'm not telling you to go anywhere. You stay here, handsome.
No, you go.
Okay, I'll go.
Plug your book, buddy.
Well, I'll go.
Plug your book.
Yeah, plug your book.
Go to Amazon, iTunes, download Progress, the book. I wrote it. It's fantastic. It's been called Exquisite. That's all you need to know. That's not a lie. Go for it.
BarbellBuddha.com, guys.
Yeah, my co-host on our show, BarbellBuddha.com for lots of cool blog posts. Go. I'm going to write one right when we leave here.
He also started another podcast.
Yeah.
You should listen to that.
That's right. First episode was filmed last night. It was awesome.
We were drunk.
If you like if you like the entertainment factor of this, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the content of this, stay here.
Stay here.
All right, we got the 6-month muscle gain challenge starting in about a month, so we're a little over half full on that. If you want to sign up for that, you can go to barbellshrug.com, click on the shop, click on online coaching, and then click on the 6-month muscle gain challenge. We got about 15 more spots available in that program. If you have questions, you can email me, doug@barbellshrug.com.
And if you like the show, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Go to Facebook, like us there, and check us out on Twitter @barbellshrug. If you have questions specifically for us, we will answer them on our other little show on barbellshark.com called The Daily BS. We'll make a short little video for you, answer your question. You can submit that via Twitter or on the Ask a Question tab on barbellshark.com.
Cool.
See you next time.
All right, man.
Thanks, CJ.
Thanks, guys.
Super fun, man. Thanks for coming by.